Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by DMV Black Restaurant Week, bringing culture, education, and good food to eaters in the D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area.
Hello, hello, Heritage Radio Network listeners tuning in from 165 countries around the world, about a million listens a month. And today, I hope every single one of them is tuning into Tech Bites, the weekly show on the Heritage Radio Network where we look at the intersection of food and technology. Today is September 18th, 2020, and we are recording this episode remote via Zencastr. Since episode 200, today we're on episode 2015, we've been recording remotely due to the global coronavirus pandemic. And it's been a really interesting summer season, and we're about going into our fall season now. We've been talking with people from around the world about how the pandemic has impacted their businesses, how they have done things to help communities, sustain businesses, change them from restaurants to grocery box delivery, how some businesses have just exponentially accelerated with everybody's lives moving online. Digital food tech has never been more important. Today, we're doing a little bit of a back-to-school episode. If you are a regular listener of the show, you will recognize this voice. Today, we have with us Julia Alaju, who is the founder of a company called YS Cooks. If you want to follow along at home, you can find them at yscooks.com. And we had her on last year in September, episode number 186. It's a really interesting program, which a year ago was about having kids learn about nutrition online, sort of a virtual learning platform, which now seems to be almost one of the only learning platforms that we're talking about these days. Julia, thank you for coming back to talk with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great being back on this wonderful show. Thank you so much.
Well, you know, given the success and failure rates of so many startups, it's always a pleasure to have people come back on when their startups have evolved and continued and are still around, especially yours, which is such an interesting idea. But before we get to YS Cooks, tell me, how have you and your family been during this crazy past 5 months?
Yeah, we're thankful to be safe and healthy. It's been quite different, you know. When all this started in March, we just thought it's something that will happen in a few weeks and we'll be back to life as usual. But things have played out a bit differently. But in everything, we're thankful that we have we're safe and we have our good health. So that's something we're thankful for. Our kids, we've all been working remotely. The kids have been working. They've been at home as well. So juggling work and homeschooling and just taking a day at a time. So, yeah.
We always used to talk about app tech at the beginning of the show. And I'll ask you, is there been a piece of technology, digital technology, that you have found to be really helpful during this time, or that you've discovered something new or an old standby, or what have you been using these past few months?
I think one tech that I've been using a lot has been Slack. It's just helps coordinate communication with teams so effectively, and it's just one that stands out to me readily because I use it quite a bit.
Well, that's great. That's also a new one. Most people have been talking about video phone call and video conferencing technology, along with Instagram seem to be the winners so far of the pandemic. So Slack is good. That seems like you're being in a more productive stay at home, because Slack is typically for group productivity and communication.
That's correct. That's correct.
So Julia first came on the show back, as I said, in September of 2019, and we did sort of a back-to-school episode then also. We had some young cooks on the show, which was a lot of fun because we don't often get to hear a kid's point of view. At that point in time, YS Cooks was in beta testing, and essentially the idea is, you know, nutrition and health for kids in the U.S. has long been something of focus, and we have increasing we have increasing obesity rates and health issues. And, you know, the health and welfare of our children has always been paramount, and I think it's never been more paramount than it is now. But the idea of YS Cooks was to turn nutrition and cooking and food education into a little bit of a game. So people, the kids would go to an online community. There would be able to upload photos of dishes that they were making, of foods that they liked. They could ask questions. And the more they engaged with the program in terms of learning and sharing and being curious, they acquired points, and the points would result in prizes. And at that point, Julia, you were in beta testing with some of your local schools, the thought being that this would be a program that you would hopefully run in tandem with local schools as a sort of at-home, after-school supplement to things that they were doing while they were in school. So why don't you take us through what happened for the 2019 school year, and then how your beta testing went?
Yes, thank you so much. What actually happened with beta testing was it was a learning process for us. We learned what the kids really like and how they engage with our platform, the different ways in which they enjoyed engaging with our platform. What we noticed is that the challenge was a winner with them. They love the competition, especially the boys. They love competing and they love winning. And it was a different way to motivate them to take action on what they're learning as well. It was a very effective way to communicate with them and also get them to take action. One of the parents actually told us that she's never seen our kids that engaged and interested in creating nourishing meals. That sometimes they will finish breakfast and they'll be rushing to the fridge, looking through to see what can we make for lunch that we can show off on YS Cooks. So that was some of the feedback we got from that. Of course, because the people engaged with the product very well, we had a temporary, it was a prototype that we're using then. So we went ahead and built the actual product. And while we're doing that, we're also talking to schools and community leaders about YS Cooks. There was a lot of interest with them. Of course, things were a bit turned off a little in March when school had to shut down, a lot of changes happened and all. So one of the things we did at that time was to keep engaging parents. So we have parents enrolling their kids in the program and engaging them. When things eased off a bit in around June, we went back to our conversations with not just schools alone this time. We're also talking with library community leaders in the library, like library directors, where we found a lot of interest. And they were even saying, oh, yeah, this will help a lot with our programming. This will help us a lot with our program for kids. So we thought of two different verticals at that point. We thought, okay, we could either stay with just the school program. Of course, the school was having issues with, are we going to go back in the fall? Are we going back in person? A lot of things we're not sure about what was happening in the fall. So, but of course, now things are more stable in that regard. So libraries were a very good, they were very interested in what we're doing, and we started engaging them and bringing them on board. So we have a number of libraries on the East Coast that have already signed up to be part of YS Cook platform, to bring their community to the platform. We had a few of them plan events with us over the summer for their communities, engaging them and educating them. Some of them even wanted customized programs for their community, helping to engage the kids to help them learn more about food, their overall well-being. We also expanded our collection because we saw the need even more. We saw the need for education. So it's not just about food, food and health, knowing about how food interacts with your body anymore. We now took it a step further to explain the science of food. So what is actually going on when you eat a particular meal? When it's broken down in your body, what happens? We also talk about food innovation for the next century. A lot of us grew up at a time where food was just the usual thing that's been for generations. By that I mean, when you talk about meat, you think about going to a slaughterhouse and bring meat to the table. But today, food innovation is taking food to a complete different level. You think of plant-based meat, you think about cultured meats, cultured seafood. These are things that kids should know about. They should know about why are we innovating food? How are we protecting the environment? How are our actions affecting the environment? What can we do to protect the environment? So all those things are things that we saw a need for, and we started creating resources for kids on our platform. So it's not kind of like going beyond just engaging the kids alone. It's not becoming a digital resource for them to go to place for them to go to learn about food, to learn about food safety, and learn about foodborne diseases, what they can do to protect themselves from all these foodborne diseases and waterborne diseases as well. So it's pretty much a lot of resources coming together on one platform.
So has it been challenging since March to engage parents and kids on the platform? I'm curious to know if you're primarily focusing on elementary school?
And middle school as well.
Elementary school and middle school. So my question to you is, was it challenging to have kids and their parents spend time with the YS Cooks platform from March onward when school transformed into an online platform? Did it kind of seamlessly integrate into the online learning environment? Was it too much to still be online and they wanted to get away from it? Was it something where, I know you have recipes and people are cooking together and it's an opportunity also for families to cook together to make meals. So did it become a part of, you know, lunchtime or dinner time? Or what was the change because school became, you know, a time at home on computers?
Okay, yeah, sure. So for us, the challenge was more of rolling out with schools. When COVID hit, working with schools and getting to integrate with schools was a bit of a challenge because they were in transition. But in terms of parents, we saw more response from parents who are looking for ways to engage their kids. Because what happened in March was that a lot of parents found themselves at home 24/7 and kids at home 24/7, and they were looking for ways to just kind of like unwind. And we had a number of events in April and May that we saw a lot of responses with parents by events. I'm referring to virtual, they're all virtual cooking events that parents really responded to. And because a lot of them want to do something meaningful with their kids, create bonds and engage with them. So it was great. It was absolutely great. We didn't see them back down. We saw more people engage with us as a result. And going forward, actually, we see this scaling in the sense that a lot of parents will be at home till at least January of next year with their kids, as most schools will be remote in the fall. So one of the key things that comes with that is some of them are still looking for different ways to engage their kids. So we're planning some of the programming to engage parents as well, so that when they come in, when the kids come in, they form, they can create memories together while learning. So we're not just focused on trying to focus on just the kids, even though the material we have on our platform is focused on kids, it's meant for that age group. But it's something that it will be meaningful to parents as well, because they will create a wonderful bond with their kids while creating those delicacies that we have on the platform.
Well, it sounds in many ways that this is coming along at really the right time. We've been reading and talking so much about people being at home and just generally as a trend, cooking at home, reconnecting with food, discovering recipes, everyone's baking, you know, becoming a little more creative if you have limited ingredients and things like that. So is this... YS Cooks obviously started, you know, prior to the pandemic. Do you find yourself surprised at all at how well suited this program is for this point in time?
Initially when it all started, we of course nobody envisaged something like this would ever happen. But yes, one of the biggest surprises was more of seeing how well it just fitted into what's happening. As people look for virtual learning resources, we just wrapped up our development at the time, actually, and we're like, wow, it was just at the right time. And being able to engage those kids when they needed the most was absolutely priceless.
So what do your plans look like now for going back to school for the fall?
Yeah, so we're excited about back to school, and a lot of schools have things figured out now in terms of what's the next step. At least they have things figured out for the fall, and we're excited to start working with some of the school leaders to see how we can align our resources to their educational needs as well. Because like I mentioned earlier on, we've gone beyond just engaging the kids in a gamified way to earn points, and which was how we started, earn points by participating and all, and sharing your creativity on the platform. We've created a very robust digital resource base, and we have a number of experts that have partnered with us to even take this further. So one of the key things we're committed to is working with educators to educate the next generation. And by educating the next generation, we're not even limiting it to just food and health. We want them to have a clear understanding of the importance of food to their overall well-being, and also to the importance of food to the environment. So what is the toll of our activities on the environment? What can we do to protect the environment? And how are people innovating food to support the environment that that we live in? So those are some of the things where we're heading to the platform. We have a wide array of subjects and topic around food that we are teaching the kids, and we want to align with their educators as well to ensure that the next generation is very informed, and they'll grow up to be responsible people that will even take food innovation to the next level. So, yeah.
Taking food innovation to the next level, starting with elementary school, sounds like such a great idea. We are going to take a quick break right now to find out who the underwriter is who is helping Heritage Radio Network go to the next level. Did you know that we're a 501c3 nonprofit and we keep the lights on and the mics hot entirely out of the generosity of members, many of whom are listeners like you, grants, and underwriters like this one? Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by DMV Black Restaurant Week. Bringing together Black restaurant owners in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia area with a mission to keep Black food culture alive. But DMV Black Restaurant Week is not just about a week. It's about making an impact in the community all year round. By advocating for local Black-owned restaurants, DMV Black Restaurant Week aims to use food as a force for good. In 2020, they're planning signature programming like the Business of Food and Education Conference, cocktail competition, and more. Learn more about how DMV Black Restaurant Week is promoting culture, education, and good food at dmvbrw.com.
Well, if you're just joining us and you're wondering what the hell you clicked on, this is Tech Bytes, the weekly show on the Heritage Radio Network, where we talk to innovators and influencers in the food tech space. And today we are talking with Julia Alaju, who is the founder of a company called YS Cooks. You can find them online at yscooks.com and on social media at YS Cooks on Instagram and Facebook. It's a really fascinating platform that we heard from at first last year on episode 186 in September. They were in beta testing at the time. Now they are full-blown launched product in the world. And it's interesting in that this unforeseeable, extraordinary circumstance of a global pandemic has really dovetailed with the YS Cooks idea of creating a digital platform for kids and their families to spend time cooking together, learning about food together. Julia, how much of what your program is doing now, what YS Cooks is today, how much of that was already on a roadmap for your company's growth, and how much of it is new pivoting as a result of the current global situation?
Interestingly, we've not had to pivot because of the pandemic. The model in terms of reaching out to parents, getting parents involved, was the only thing that was not part of our initial roadmap. When, the content, the expansion, the having more digital resources available to educate the kids as something had been something that we had in the plans, in the works for when we started out. The goal was to be an educational platform where kids can come and learn about food. And also, one of our main goals was eventually to see how this plays out with tackling the problem we're facing in our community today. So, according to CDC, 1 in 5 children in America is considered obese. And if we want to tackle this problem of obesity, we need to do a lot of things and do it differently. So one of the key things is educating kids about food in very simple way and engaging them and rewarding them as well, because any action you reward is encouraged. So these are some of the things that we had in the plan from the get-go. And those are some of the core things that we've maintained over time. Some things have changed. Some things like reaching out to libraries, that wasn't in the plan originally, but it was something that came up when the pandemic started. We started thinking of programming that would be beneficial to the library, because a lot of libraries were closed and they couldn't offer the programming they normally would in person. So we started thinking, since we are online, we were online already before all this started, so we thought, let's engage them and let's see how we can bring our resource to them. And that was exactly what we did. So some of those things were not in the works originally, but it came handy when COVID hit the world. So that's the only tweak that we made in terms of how we reach out to people. And we even saw even another opportunity there, because a lot of them, we spoke with a number of library directors that were really, really interested in what we're offering. So yes, that would be the only thing I can mention at this point that was different from what we planned originally.
That's interesting. Libraries are often a part of schools, but also, you know, separately a part of communities. I'm a huge fan of the New York public library system. You know, being a New Yorker, I live in a tiny little apartment and I love books and I love reading on paper. But at some point, you just run out of space.
Right.
So what I started to do a few years ago is I stopped physically buying books, and I would make a donation to the library and just get my books, you know, on the loan like everything else. And I really rediscovered all of the different things that were happening in terms of, you know, classes and education and the kids programs, you know. And even now, online digital lending and video streaming and things like that, they're, you know, libraries are wonderful and they're such a critical part of the community that we don't often think about. I would be curious to know if the engagement and the types of, you know, comments or photos or things, the content that you had kids on the platform sharing with YS Cooks, did you see any kind of change in the content that they were making, or has it been pretty much the same? Are they uploading more? I'm participating more? Is it less? Is it
so,
just
yeah,
the same?
So,
or?
Right. So one of the key things we've noticed is, number one, in terms of what they share, that has not changed. The type of, they pretty much share food, pictures, and apart from a few kids that shared pictures of themselves, not themselves, but their farms producing tomatoes and things like that. That was the only one that was non-cooked food. But all pretty much they share cooked food and what they're having, and sometimes share the snacks they're having. So, but in terms of frequency of sharing, so it depends on the challenge. So we have challenge. We run the challenge from time to time. There was a time we were running the challenge every month, but we spaced it out now. So we have the challenge running in 6 weeks blocks. So we have a 14-week challenge, and then we have a break between it, and then we have another. So if we want a higher frequency, that would also be the case. So we run the challenge at that frequency now. And as we get into more things that's adding value to them. So one of the key things that we're introducing is what we call the digital box, where every week every other week they'll get an email from us, which we want to have themed content. That is rolling out in September, themed content. So if this week we're talking about food safety, we'll talk about it from different angles. What is food safety? Why should you care? Then we'll go on, we'll break it down a bit more, and we go into the different sources of foodborne diseases, and we talk about what is causing it, how people play a role in it. And we just kind of like go down the entire stream and educate them from basic to advanced, not too advanced, but for that age-appropriate education. They will get that in the mail. Then we'll give them a little puzzle as well with that, that they would play with their parents and all around how they can keep themselves safe in their kitchen, and then they will share that with us. Then in the digital box, they have a simple snack recipe that is nourishing and tasty that they can create for that weekend and share with their parents as well. Because our mission is changing to focus more on connecting families together. Not just we want to educate them, but we also want to help them create a bond with their parents, come together, have fun together, learn together. Because kids are home with their parents longer now than usual, and it's a very good opportunity to create a bond together by doing fun things that they will enjoy. And another thing is, if parents get into the habit of creating nourishing meals with their kids, whatever we're teaching them will have a lasting impact, because it's going beyond just this kid's learning, it's going beyond the parents also seeing the benefits of what the kids are learning as well, and that will create a long-lasting change. Our hope is not just to create change with the kids as well. We want to see that change go into the environment, the community, and impact more people than just the people that interact with us. We want them to become change agents to impact people around them as well. So that is our goal. And that's some of the changes we're making to ensure that we can execute on those goals and objectives as well.
Well, certainly food safety and where our food comes from and the environmental impact of where our food comes from, these are all things that are in the headlines almost every day in the news, and have become, you know, sort of really critical and paramount in a way that they have never been before. Do you find that do these messages resonate more with parents now?
Yes.
As a way to sort of bridge maybe a conversation gap between, you know, something like environmental issues with, you know, small kids, or food safety with kids as a framework to talk about things that maybe might not be so easy to discuss with like a 7-year-old without it seeming, you know, to be like a doomsday kind of thing.
Yes. And you know the interesting thing? Yeah, I absolutely see your point. One of the key things we see with parents love the idea. one of the key things I've seen with things like this is how do you present the material? So you might be presenting a material on something fun, but if you present in a very boring way, you turn the kids off. But if you're presenting something that is complicated or maybe not the most exciting topic, but you present in a very engaging and exciting way, kids will want to learn about it. I remember getting a document that was prepared by a nutritionist on gut health, and it had so many colorful images, and it had superheroes. So, and it had villains. So she did it in such an engaging way that you will almost forget we're talking about gut health. So she was saying that, you know, in your tummy, she actually used a tummy, and she said, your tummy, you have some bacteria, there are millions of them. Some of them are superheroes. Some of them are
good bacteria, evil good bacteria.
Yes. And she it was really beautiful. And one of my boys saw it. I was like, wow, I love this. So you're talking about something that could be complex and that could be maybe boring, but you're saying in a very simple way, the kids can relate with superheroes. They can relate with when you say it's good for you. So when you eat this type of food, you are promoting this good bacteria. They can relate with that because they see superheroes every day and they all want to become superheroes. So knowing that they have a choice and their choice affects the number of superheroes they have within them, it's exciting for them. So everything boils down to how you communicate this fact with the kids. The topic might not be the most exciting topic, but if it's well communicated, it becomes really exciting. They don't just learn about it, they talk about it. They talk to their friends about it, talk to everyone about it. So the goal is to make nutrition education something exciting, something fun. But that's not the only thing. One thing we found out is when you talk about healthy food, some people tune off. Because they think when you talk about healthy food, you're talking about tasteless food. You're talking about
people not your favorite food.
Yes, but it's not the case at all. It's pretty much saying, how can I make this food? How can I make this food that I really enjoy even more nourishing and tastier? So, for instance, I remember one of the kids shared a picture of pizza and said, you know, I like pizza, but how can I make it better for me? And somebody said, why don't you add less cheese? Why don't you use this kind of, what's it called? Why don't you use kind of toppings? And people started talking and the conversation thread grew from that because everybody loves pizza. So it's not saying, don't eat this, don't eat what you love. It's saying, how can you make food work for you? Because the truth is, if you load up on some food types, if you load up on some things, it's not beneficial to you. And on the long run, sometimes you don't see the effects in a year, in 2 years. But if you continue eating that way over a prolonged period of time, you will feel the impact and it won't be pleasant. So what changes can you make now? And also helping you to discover some very, very tasty, very tasty meals that are also nourishing. An example, they had popsicles. They made popsicle. We had one of the cooking shows we had in May. They made pizza. They made frozen pizza. It's not real pizza. They used yogurt, strawberry, and I think it's coconut, shredded coconut.
A sweet dessert pizza that looks
exactly
like pizza, but
yes,
it was like a
pizza.
Frozen dessert treat thing. That sounds
yes,
fun.
Yes, it's a treat. Yeah, it's a treat. It's a frozen treat, and it's they call it fruity pizza or something like that. It was a big win with the kids because it's something they can easily relate with, and it was really tasty. But at the same time, it's nourishing for them. So having those kind of discovery moments, thinking, oh, wow, I had no idea that could be that nice. Oh, I had no idea that could be that good. So a combination of many things here. Number one is discovering nourishing and tasty meals, and also learning about food in a way that is engaging, in a way that is practical, in a way that creates lasting impact, not only in the kids' life, but also in their community that they live as well. So that is what we are about.
So what do the plans for Wise Cooks look like coming into this fall? where many school systems are getting ready to, some are getting ready to go back to school, some are looking at hybrid models, some in school, some at home, some are starting the school year again, learning from home. How do your plans for YS Cooks fit into that?
So yeah, one of the things we're looking to do is continue working with reaching out to as many educators as possible to see different ways where we can align what we're doing with what they are doing. A lot of the educators we've spoken with, one of the biggest things they've told us is the content. They need more content. They want to talk about it, but you know, they need more content. So that's one of the things we want to help them with. Bring in experts together to give them the content they need to educate the kids on things that are so important. But we'll take the burden off them. We'll take care of the educational piece. They bring the kids. We just partner with them to educate the kids. That's number one. Number two is we want to still continue working with local libraries as well, because there's some kids that do not go to regular schools. The school at home. By schooling at home, I mean the conventional school, homeschooling that we know before COVID. So we want to be able to reach those kids as well. And one of the things that the library does effectively is helping with that as well. So if we miss any of the kids while we're aligned with the schools, we can still capture them in other ways to local libraries. So those are the main things we have on our list going into the fall. Our outreach to communities and creating impact in those communities by aligning our mission with those of the local communities. So that's where we are.
What have been some of the top requests and, you know, feedback comments that you've gotten from parents who have been using the program these past few months?
A lot of them like the cooking shows. We've had a number of requests for that. And that's one of the reasons why we plan to have plan to host that more often, because the kids love it. So the parents love it, the kids love it. So we want to roll that out more. And the interesting thing is the librarians love it as well. So we actually have one Pascal librarian that said, "Oh, can you do XYZ?" She gave us specific stuff that she wants us to do for our community.
Recipes or foodstuffs?
Specific food types and for the specific... she actually requested plant-based cooking shows, focused on this type of diet, and she had specific requests, and it was quite interesting to see how she was so intense on that. But yeah, so we want to step up on that, because we know they like it and we believe it's meaningful to them. So we want to do more of those, and going into the fall as well, we want to explore having our challenge aligned with each of our shows. So once we end the show, we have a challenge that goes after that, and then we'll take a break from that next show, and then we kind of like continue that cycle. So it doesn't stop with learning those things. Try your hands on it and share what you've learned. So that is how we're planning to go about it.
Well, aside from the library piece, which is really an interesting one and makes so much sense, what's been the biggest surprise for you over this period of time? I mean, everything is so surprising, and obviously to just find ourselves in this situation right now,
in this
life. But what has been the biggest surprise to you? I mean, as an entrepreneur and as a business owner, especially in the food tech space, I mean, typically you just spend a lot of time with your head down, working and building the next iteration and the next thing and the next thing. Has this been very different from that? Is it just the old entrepreneur kind of grind in terms of, you know, building your business?
You know, the past few months have been quite interesting, and it's very heartbreaking to see how this pandemic has impacted so many businesses and so many people. You know, when you're in the food tech space, I've been in the food tech space for a while, so you know so many people. You know businesses that you always bump into each other at events. You know their CEOs, and hearing one after the other, people going under and things like that. It's very heartbreaking, very, very heartbreaking. And one of the key things you think about is, what can you do to help? And that's one thing that has, for me, that's, you know, it's sometimes you feel like, oh, something like this happened, no one could have expected it. And we felt the pinch too, because as you know, I was on your show, last year, May, to talk about Disrupt Food Summit. And we've hosted summits for the past 4 years. But last year, we had to cancel. And I know a number of people that were impacted by COVID in different ways. So when you think about all those things, one of the key things you want to also think of is what can I do differently that will help people that are struggling now? So that is one thing we're also looking into for the food community in terms of writing and helping to support other people. That we have a number of people that share with us what they're doing. We also share with our followers. We share with our network. Any way we can support companies that are trying to stay on their feet right now, we do that. But that's been the biggest pain of this all. Watch people that have almost become like family to you, because you see them almost all the time. You brainstorm together and see all their hard work go down the drain. It's been very difficult for me to just process.
That is definitely something I think that we are all grappling with, not just for the people around us, but when we turn on the news and, you know, look at the headlines. I will say that, you know, your platform is such an interesting one. And, you know, we've had many episodes of Tech Bites where we've talked to different people in various areas of the food world. You know, I don't wonder if YS Cooks would be a good partnership with some of the digital cooking platforms that some chefs and restaurant people have started, or some of the food bank and community food kitchen programs where, you know, they're distributing, you know, groceries and pantry things to people, and maybe pairing that up with, you know, a platform that helps people, you know, learn how to cook. People have been so focused on cooking, and certainly we've been seeing so many articles about, you know, things to cook. Cooking as a family and teaching kids to cook right now is also just seems like a great idea. And it's something that we're not seeing quite as much of, I think, in the mainstream media. I would ask you, just out of curiosity, and also in case anyone is listening who might have some resources or some ideas, what types of things are you looking for as an entrepreneur to grow YS Cooks to the next stage? What types of resources and partnerships are you looking for going into, you know, the next school year to expand your platform?
Sure. So we're looking for a number of things. Number one is we want to partner with organizations whose mission is aligned with ours. So there's some organizations that do believe and invest in kids' overall well-being, that they want to partner with any organization that is doing the same and support their endeavor. We will want to speak with them and see how we can work together to accomplish their objectives. Another group that we're really interested in, as I mentioned earlier on, are the schools. We want to talk to as many principals as possible. And if you're a principal or you're a school superintendent and you're listening, you can reach out to us. I can be reached at julia.b@yscook.com. We are happy to speak with as many of them as possible. Also, We want to we're open to working with institutions that take care of kids, but they're not the conventional school system as we know it. We have different structured programs that are outside of the regular school system. There are private schools as well. We want to reach out to as many of them as possible. And because, of course, most of the schools we're reaching out to are in the public school system, public school district right now. But I'm also aware that there are a lot of other institutions that are different and still educate kids, but they're not just part of the mainstream educational system that we know. We hope to reach out to those ones as well and talk to them. So three main groups there that we hope we can connect with in the coming months.
Well, it sounds like you have created really the right platform at the right time. And, you know, there is a lot of growth and investment happening in the food tech space. So, I mean, it's a great opportunity to create something that families can do together that's helpful, not just in the short term, but also in the long term, and also maybe gives people a vehicle and a way to talk about some of these really almost distressing headlines that we see about the food chain and where our food comes from and the environment, sort of creating a new dialogue that we can have with people that's not distressing, but really is, you know, educational and engaging. If you would like to find out more about YS Cooks, visit them online, yscooks.com. You can follow them on social media at YS Cooks. If you want to listen to the first episode back in September 2019, that's episode 186 of Tech Bites. It seems like such an eternity ago, a whole other lifetime. We sat in the studio at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick, Brooklyn, and we actually ate pizza during the episode. I remember. It was so exciting.
With the kids.
With actual kids, which was great. Julia, I want to thank you for coming back on the show and sharing what's been happening. We wish you really continued success and hope you and your family have a great school year.
Thank you.
Would like to thank all of our listeners for staying with us and the amazing Heritage Radio Network staff who has been keeping us going all these months, recording remotely from points afar, keeping social media, even creating some new programming. Come and visit us at heritageradionetwork.org. We have some new things happening. We have timely episodes. We're tackling big stories, big food questions, important things, and also, you know, just sharing some things that are like nice and friendly and fun and maybe put a smile on your face. If you really want to make sure that these stories stay with us, click the beating heart and make a donation, become a member. If you designate your donation to Tech Bites, I will send you a gift along with my undying love. I'm Jennifer Liuzzi, and this is Tech Bites.
Tech Bites is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Just enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/Heritage Radio Network. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.